Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voices for Change 2.0, the only podcast that focuses on mental health while mixing in movies, music, books, sports, and pop culture. Here are your hosts, Rebecca and Joe Lombardo.
Good morning, everybody. This is Scott, the producer of Voices for Change 2.0. We're having a little trouble getting Joe and Rebecca in, but I think they're on the line now. Guys, welcome to the show. Were you able to get in okay?
We think so. Can you hear us all right?
I can hear you.
Scott?
That's good.
Oh, okay,
oh,
good.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, we had to do
all
some...
right.
Improvising.
Yeah, crazy hustling with the laptop because our good computer is being a... stupid head.
Well, welcome to your own show,
hi.
Guys. I'm going to go ahead and turn it on over to you. We have your guests waiting. You guys have a good show, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
Good morning, everybody. Sorry about the technical issues here. It's been a morning for us.
Yeah,
so.
We haven't even been up that long, and it's already been a day.
Yeah, so there's that. So... anyway, happy middle of August, which is crazy.
Yeah, it's gone by so fast. And like I was saying on Facebook earlier this week, there's kids going back to school already, and that just blows my mind.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. I mean, we're not of a younger age yet. So, we remember going to school after Labor Day and all that, and...
I had a couple of friends say that their kids are going after Labor Day, but
it's kind
of
rare.
A lot of them going back this past week, and
yeah.
I would be so bitter. No. I get the rest of August too.
Yep. So, and it's been a busy week for us here at the Casa de Lombardo. I've been off work all week on vacation, and it's been a busy vacation. We've been finally trying to get our room done and painted and everything. And for those of you that have seen pictures that Beck has posted, know that, it's been a long time coming, but it's pulling together. And if I'm lucky, I'll have the room just about completed today after the show. So that's the plan anyway. So wish me luck because God knows I need it.
Yeah, we need it. So...
But
today we've got a really special show for you guys. The guests that we've got coming on, it's got to be
a couple years
three years at least that I've known her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been just a huge support to us, with my book and with our show and everything and my hashtag. She's just been really, really great, really good friend. She's a constant advocate for mental illness. Not only does she treat people in her counseling center in Florida, she has a radio show that goes all across the country you can listen to out of Florida. And she focuses on a wide variety of guests, all kind of catering to, ending the stigma around mental health. And so we're really, really fortunate to have her with us today. So please welcome to our show, Tiffany Werner.
Hi, guys. Hi, Joe.
Hey.
It's so
good
to
morning.
Hear your voice. Or
it's so good to hear your voice. Yeah.
You had me smiling at calling your radio, your computer a stupid head. I had to mute my phone.
The comedy is...
I can completely relate with the school kids going back to school. I have kids that just started Monday, and it's been crazy, crazy, crazy.
Oh,
and
that's
so
wild.
I can relate on a personal level, not only that, but for all the parents that are trying to adjust. And my kids are exhausted because they've been used to summer hours and staying up all night, and I sadly admit playing Fortnite a lot. Late night and stuff like that and video games or whatever, but no, they're like, the days are so long at school. They had, you know, fast days throughout the summer doing whatever they want, and then now they have to sit through class. But they're adjusting well. But it's weird because now, like, there's all these different laws, and I even hear it with the clients, too, that are going back to school, because I specialize with teens and adolescents as well. And especially with all the shootings and everything, there's armed police all over this elementary school.
Wow.
It's different. Already practicing lockdowns, and
that's
kind of scary being a mom, you know, just in general, that this is the world we live in right now.
We shouldn't have to have these kind of worries, you know, that we really shouldn't. And, you know, I have to really watch myself because, I will start to go on crazy political rants about this, and our show totally isn't that.
Yeah, we don't want it. We
it
don't
want really,
to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. It just makes the whole concept of it makes me angry. You know, I remember being incensed when finding out 3 or 4 years after I graduated high school, yay many moons ago, that they had installed metal detectors in my high school then, and this we're talking. At this point, I think over 20 years ago that they did that, you know, so that's insane. I feel for you, and I feel for your kids that this even has to be a concern. So I'll definitely
have a seven-year-old asking, you know, why and what do we do? And we're having these drills, and these people don't shoot kids, right, Mom? You know, things of that nature. So,
oh my God.
Yeah.
That's heartbreaking.
Anyway. Yeah.
That is absolutely heartbreaking.
So that's not what our show's about, though. So just saying, I understand the hectic hustle and bustle of the new week beginning with school starting.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, you know, just tell them, hey, just wait until, you know, you guys are out of school and you have to work through the summer.
Yeah, really?
Ugh.
That's horrible.
Yeah. You know.
My kids are like, work.
what's that? Yeah, no, I work for a large multinational conglomerate, and you know, I have to be there early in the morning. So walking out the door at 5:30 in the morning, and you get hit in the face with humidity because of where we're at. And I imagine it's got to be the same for you guys down there in Florida. It's just you, and I'm working outside all day. So you walk out the door and it's like, oh, you know, you're like, I got to deal with this all day. So it's been nice being off, you know, regardless of whether or not I've been working in the house, you know, I think I've left the house
a different
three
kind
times.
Of work. But you get air conditioning now.
Yes. So, anyway, let's jump into our show and our questions. Do you have any questions for us before we begin?
No. Have you been? And like what Rebecca was saying, you guys have been. It's been about 3 years, a little over 3 years. When I started my show, it was January 2015, and I think Rebecca and I connected then, and became instantly on the same page. We had the same passion, and I think you were like one of my first guests as well, and sent me some of her beautiful books. And I had, I still run teen groups. I tell you, I specialize with children, adolescents, and Rebecca was kind enough to send me some of her books and then be a speaker through Skype during one of my groups, and even signed her book personally to each member of the group and gave them a copy. It was really, really great and really special. And and just we've done quite a few things together, and a special place in my heart. So I'm happy to be here with you guys and on the other end of that.
Yeah, we're definitely happy to have you with us too. You know, it's been a long time coming, and you know, we should have had you on sooner, Tiffany. I'm sorry that we haven't. But you're here with us now. So, yay.
Yay.
So,
don't apologize. It's I'm not normally the guest as being a host, so it takes someone just, I'm doing this for you guys too. So happy to be here.
Yay.
All right, well, we're going to jump into our questions now. We have a standard first question for most of our guests, but it's a little bit different for you today because you're sort of on the other side of the table from who we usually interview. So we're going to modify our first question and just say, how did your passion for mental health advocacy develop?
How did my passion for mental health advocacy? Well, kind of goes back to, I lost my parents when I was young. My mother, right when I graduated high school, my mother had a brain aneurysm, and I was barely 18 years old, and I found her on the bathroom floor, that was, you know, obviously an unexpected severe trauma, and it had changed me. For a minute, and I can see how trauma can really derail somebody off their path. And then I had asked my father, who is a very well-respected war hero. He served in Vietnam as a first lieutenant, 3 Purple Hearts, you name it, like all sorts of medals. And he ended up dying while I was in college. My mother, my 2 grandparents, and my father all passed away. He died of Agent Orange later on from serving in Vietnam. So I didn't think I was going to be a therapist. And so I started to attend therapy myself and realized that if I had, you know, I was living with a lot of anger at the time, as an angry teenager, lost. I had asked my dad, who was, you know, a veteran, if I could talk to somebody because I was having difficulty after what I had been through. And he said that, no, nothing's wrong with you. You know, you're not sick. That's for sick people. You know, you're fine. You'll get through this. And that was the mentality that I don't believe in. So, after his passing, then, I was an undecided major for a while, like didn't know what I was going to do. I probably wouldn't be a therapist today if that didn't happen. So sometimes I'm a strong believer that bad things happen for good. Like there's good that comes out of bad. You know, sometimes we're not able to see it until later on, of course, because hindsight's 20/20. But anyway, so that happened. I became really passionate about working with children and adolescents that have been through a trauma because I know that it can really set someone off the right path, off track, you know?
Yeah.
Become, you know, the stage of the grief and loss, you know, there's, you know, denial, bargaining, anger, depression, acceptance. I was stuck in the anger phase for real. And so I started working with children and adolescents. I worked in the correctional facilities, maximum risk, for years with Department of Juvenile Justice. And then moved on to private practice. And then I opened my own counseling facility. I was with a psychiatric group for a while. A lot of the kids, a lot of my patients would come in and say, you know, I kept hearing, I'm not crazy. My mom just thought I should talk to somebody. I'm not crazy. And so I opened my own counseling center without medication providers that, you know, was a comfortable environment where you don't feel like you walk into a doctor's office. It's more like, you know, coffee and snacks and water and pillows.
A lot more relaxed.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I started seeing a significant difference with that, and especially the comfort level of people opening up and not feeling ashamed, so to speak, coming for counseling. And then I joined the Chamber of Commerce of Safety Harbor, and at the ribbon cutting, WTA and radio was there, and then they asked me if I wanted to host a psychology show, and after I'd given a speech and everything, and that's what started Moments of Clarity, that in 2015, been doing that too, as well as the counseling center. So
wow.
That's what sparked the passion. And
okay.
I'm kind of a sucker for the underdog as well, of people that that thought they were alone and thought that their problems were just for them and that there's no one else that was going through similar issues. And so that made me very passionate about letting people know that they're not alone. And that's
true.
Big,
you know. And you know, just wanted to say, you know, we're both really sorry about what you went through with your folks and grandparents and everything. We both know how difficult that is to go through that. So
that's for sure.
Yeah, and I'm,
you know,
but Rebecca, I know that you've been through something similar. I'm really sorry for your loss as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, and it's like you said, you know, sometimes good can come out of the bad. You know, and it's 2020 hindsight to see that, you know, it's actually kind of a similar thing with Beck, you know, when she had her, difficulties, back in 2013 and was hospitalized, you know, that was a pretty low point, but, you know, from that, you know, she wrote the book. We've got the podcast. She's made incredible friends such as you. And, you know, there has been good that has come from it. And that's kind of what we try and focus on at this point, thinking back on it, is, you know, yeah, that was a dark and terrible time, but, you know, she survived it. She got through it and has made
100%.
Positive strides. Yeah.
I've been really reminded of that a lot lately, about my breakdown and my hospitalization. You know, and as much as I try to focus on the positive, there are some things that still remind me of what I went through. And I don't know if there's anybody else out there who is been hospitalized recently or, you know, shares the same views, but we've been watching Orange is the New Black quite a bit, and it's kind of crazy to be sitting there watching this show about these women that are in prison being reminded of what you went through in a so-called mental hospital.
Yeah.
You know, there shouldn't be any comparison between the two. They should, in my opinion, they should be vastly different. You know, and I don't know how you feel about this, Tiffany, but or how much you've had to deal with. You said you worked in the prison facilities.
I worked in both, yeah. I worked in psychiatric hospitals and in correctional facilities. They kind of embellish on the Orange is the New Black. I've watched that too. But there is some stuff that does happen, like, you know, guards sneaking contraband in, inappropriate relationships and different units, like, fighting against each other and things like that. But there's some things that are strongly embellished that don't really happen. But they say that our society can be strongly resembled by what happens in our correctional facilities in each country or in each nation. Like how we treat people in general. It's kind of sad.
Yeah,
it's like when I first got to that facility, I was strip searched and, you know, bend over and cough and the whole thing. So every time they go through that, it takes me back there, you know, and the first time
no one wants to go through that.
Right, you know, and the crappy part about that was that I had just transferred from another hospital, and they strapped me to a gurney and put me in an ambulance and took me to the new hospital. So there's nothing I could have done.
Yeah, I mean, that's the crazy thing.
I couldn't have gotten any quote-unquote contraband.
Yeah, you know, she was under suicide watch the entire time she was in the first hospital. So she had somebody with her 24 hours a day, and they still made her go through that, you know.
Yeah, every facility has to follow protocol, unfortunately, and not trust. I mean, it's just that for them to trust that the other people did their job correctly would be naive, unfortunately. And so that's why. But it's when treating a person for suicide like a criminal, then that's just so wrong. Treating a drug addict like a criminal like is wrong too. It's just, we could go on our political rant here, Joe.
It'd be very, very easy at this point, wouldn't it? But
it's good to have a perspective of somebody who's actually been in those facilities.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure.
You know, make me feel a little bit better about it. But
I tell you what, Tiffany, we're about 20 minutes in, so we're going to take our first break.
Sure.
We're going to be listening to Damian Escobar with Awaken. We will catch you guys on the flip side. Hey, welcome back to Voices for Change 2.0. I'm Joe. She's Rebecca. And on the line, we have the lovely and talented Tiffany Werner of Moments of Clarity with Tiffany. Hiya.
Hi. Thank you so much. So happy to be here. So honored.
That was my radio voice.
Yeah, that was lovely, honey.
Thank you, dear.
Good. That sounds good.
Thanks. It's nice using it because, you know, 20-plus years ago, I actually went to broadcasting school, and doing the podcast has been the most I've gotten to use that education since I graduated back in 96 from it.
Yeah.
I could hear you doing a voiceover for, like, a sexy perfume or cologne commercial.
Don't feed my ego.
Now offers impulse. Like, try it out, Joe. You never know.
No, come on.
That's right.
Never know.
Dash my dream, honey. Thank you.
Let's get back to our questions. We got a little bit off track with our previous conversation, but
yeah, it's funny because Tiffany actually answered a few of our questions that we had jotted down just from answering the first one. So, so what I'm going to ask is, please tell us a little bit about Safety Harbor, just because we're curious about it.
About the counseling center or the city?
Yeah, the counseling center.
Oh, it's just we have several licensed mental health counselors and clinical social workers, licensed social workers. I also have a licensed therapist that does myofascial release and a bit of holistic therapy, as well as we run groups. I have an adult support group that runs every Monday. And I also host a teen group that's for socialization and anxiety and for, recovering from bullying or self-esteem. I do a lot of dialectical behavioral therapy to be mindful, things of that nature too. And then I see clients privately. And that's my day job. And then the radio show is my outreach.
Cool. Very cool. And
where is that? Where is that located? If anybody was
curious.
Safety
Harbor is in the Tampa Bay area. Well, Clearwater, Tampa Bay, St. Petersburg area. Safety Harbor is just five clients from all over. It's kind of centrally located around there, on the west coast of Florida.
Cool. Very cool. Do you cater more towards youth, or is it? You're kind of covering the gamut, you know,
everybody is
welcome. It's like an all-inclusive kind of thing. Awesome. Mm-hmm. That's very cool.
I started out and I specialized, like I told you before, that's what got me into it. So I specialized at that, but then I, you know, continued to expand my practice by being certified with substance abuse and recovery and then marriage counseling and couples communication and also, you know, helping the LGBT community and things of, I pretty much work with anybody as long as it's not under the age of 5.
Okay. That's very cool.
Yeah, definitely.
That's awesome. Yeah. What about for the radio show? You said that the radio station was there covering when the counseling center opened. That was in 2015, so it's been about 3 years with the radio show?
It was January 2015 was my first, so it's been a little bit over 3.5 years.
That's awesome. That's very cool. How's that? How's it going?
It? Yeah, it started off. At first, it was a nighttime show, and then they moved me up to noon. So I am now on every Thursday, Friday from 12 to 1 Eastern Standard Time. It's live, and then. It's been on 7 stations. It's syndicated in 2 states, and now that's live on YouTube on Tantalk Network and saved into Moments of Clarity with Tiffany under that. So there's a YouTube channel as well, and then iTunes and TuneIn Radio app, and then you can stream in worldwide at Tantalk1340.com. But most of everything saved on my webpage at momentsofclaritywithtiffany.com. and everything's cool. Saved as a podcast. So it's a live radio show. So I'm on live. Then I shot myself in the foot by putting it on Facebook Live. So now I can't just wake up and go in my pajamas and go on the radio. Now I actually have to shower and do my hair and worry about what I look like on camera. But so, and YouTube now. but well, at the same time, it's reaching out. It's whatever it can reach the most people. That's all that matters. And raising awareness on very sensitive topics, such as, you know, just from, you know, suicide prevention. We just had a show on yesterday about suicide prevention. I'm trying to help promote this outreach that's going to be on August 31st called Let's Talk About Mental Health, where everyone's writing about, like, it's for the weekend. It's going to be global, worldwide, and people are going out with chalk, just writing inspirational quotes everywhere, saying, like, you are loved, or hearts, or, you know, kids can participate. And since it's chalk, it's not really graffiti. And it's, you know, they're snapshotting a picture of it and then posting it onto the hashtag Let's Talk About Mental Health, and showing how it's worldwide outreach to help prevent suicide and for those that are, you know, healing or grieving from someone that they loved and known that has committed suicide or has made an attempt and survived one. So we're trying to inspire hope and inspire awareness and hopefully decrease the numbers of suicide, because it's, I guess, the second leading cause of death for people ages 5 to 34. It's just, or 10,
wow.
It's just, I mean, just the fact that a child is second leading cause of death for someone aged 5 to 10 and to the age 34, it's just
devastating.
There's got to be more resources out there. There's got to be more education, more hope, and especially with the internet. And I mean, the kids today have it worse than when we were young. That, you know, it's so easy to attack someone on the internet when they're kids, you know, on Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat, or to get bullied if someone, you know, and it's devastating a lot of them. And so things of that, trying to do stuff like that. So that's this August 31st to September 1st.
Yeah, I'm definitely in touch with the whole suicide prevention and attempted suicide aspect of things. I think that's wonderful. I think it's sounds like it's going to be great. And
welcome to be a part of it if you want.
Yeah,
I would love to. I don't think we can get down there though.
No. It's worldwide. So basically, you'll go outside in your sidewalk or wherever you're at, and with chalk right on your sidewalk or whatever, and take a snapshot and say, or a photograph, and then say from Michigan, and then post it on the website. Like, you don't have to.
Oh, cool.
So that you would be the piece in Michigan, and then I would be the piece of Florida, and then there's people from New Zealand, and then other places around the world, worldwide.
So
you don't really have to go anywhere except outside.
that's good, because we don't like going places.
No, it's just to show everyone, like, that we're standing together as one, and that we're all working together to fight the same cause and help.
That's great. You know, that's definitely, you know, raising awareness, and, you know, and again, with the suicide rates are just, they're through the roof, and it's like every time you turn around, you hear about, you know, another person taking that step, and it's devastating. You know, it breaks my heart, you know, knowing what Beck went through, and knowing what some of our friends have gone through, people that we've known that have completed it. I don't want to say succeeded, because that's really not a great way to put it, but you know, it's something that needs to be, I don't know how I want to say it. I'm losing my words.
Well, hopefully we will provide more resources and get more resources out there so that anyone contemplating it will have more of an outreach and support network to end the hopelessness that they're feeling or the isolation that they're feeling or worthlessness and inspire them to give it a shot and work through whatever's causing that feeling.
I've been noticing a lot lately, and I don't want to be negative about this, but I do want to, if there's anybody that's listening that, you know, really, really relies on social media for, you know, I know that I do. I rely on social media for being the people that I talk to. I don't have a lot of people that I talk to on a day-to-day basis except for, say, on Twitter. And I just want to give out this little nugget of advice, if I could, before we pick up their questions. If you're struggling, make sure that you reach out to somebody that is equipped to deal with the issues that you're going through. Excuse me. Don't just randomly reach out on Twitter, because there's a possibility that you won't get the support or the feedback that you're looking for.
Worse yet, you'll get mm-hmm. trolled.
Right. And it may
right.
make you
yeah,
feel...
Yeah, that is even worse.
It'll make you feel even worse. And, you know, I've seen it personally. There have been friends and people in the Twitter mental health community that have gone online and said, you know, I'm really feeling this way, and, you know, I think things are done for me and my life is over. And, you know, you want to reach out to every one of those people, but there's times when it just doesn't work out. And I've gone back, you know, days later and seen these posts, and nobody retweeted, nobody said anything, nobody did anything. And I just wonder about those people after the fact, you know,
yeah.
what kind of an impact did that have on them? And I just, if there's somebody that's saying, hey, you know, my DMs are open, message me anytime if you're struggling, that's one thing. But to just put it out there generally into the universe, you're not always going to get the type of feedback that you're looking for.
Yeah.
And you just really need to be careful and really take care of yourself and protect yourself from that kind of a thing.
Yeah, and
it's
conversely,
not
too.
It's a personal attack. Like, sometimes
yeah.
people don't know,
right.
don't know what to say.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is, you know, if you see one of your friends posting online about this, you know, you kind of get the feeling, yeah, I wonder what's going on with them. Don't be afraid to reach out, because more often than not, those people aren't reaching out individually because they feel already like they're a burden to everybody else.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to us as their friends and loved ones to say, you're not a burden, not by any stretch, you know. there are times when Beck is having low points where she'll feel like a burden and she'll say as much to me. And, you know, I'm reassuring her that she is absolutely not a burden, you know, and honey, you're not.
Thank you, honey.
Okay. We it's up to us as the loved ones, as the friends, as the neighbors, as the people around the afflicted that need to reach out. You know, it's on us to say, hey, are you okay? You know, do you need to talk? Is there anything I can do? You know, it's a door that swings both ways. You know, if you're suffering, reach out. But if you see someone suffering, reach out to them too. Off my soapbox.
And I've had clients in my office that they've contemplated or they have suicidal ideations or thoughts, and that just even a stranger smiling at them or holding a door open for them or saying hi or complimenting them or saying you look nice today or have a great day has given them a glimmer of hope to come into counseling and talk more about it and not stay in that dark place. And And so, like, just as even just society could be kinder to others. Like, I say this before,
yeah.
that like, it's so quick for people to, like, when we're in we're shopping, if management or if we get bad service, so quick for people to complain to management and say
right.
something about how rude that person was. But how many times have the cashier or a person in a store gone out of their way to make your experience shopping more pleasurable, and there's forms we can fill out to say, wow, that person really did a good job, and that and they made my experience here better. And most of the time, they get rewarded for that, or a pat on the back, or a promotion, or a bonus, or something for a compliment to a manager. And if we can go out of the way and complain when we're upset because of how someone treated, why can't we go out of the way and compliment or praise someone for actually doing a great job and making our lives better, you know, making everything a better time or a better experience? It's,
mm-hmm.
It should be more
exactly.
Random acts of kindness or more effort to encourage positive behavior rather than discourage negative behavior, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, if we could just start out just being nicer to each other, you know,
mm-hmm.
that would be a really, really big step, you know. And I'll say this, that it was very difficult for me at the beginning after my book first came out, and there were, you know, positive reviews, but I did get a couple of really negative reviews. And, you know, I understand that people, they feel what they feel, and they, you know, have their own opinions about things. But there was some stuff that was really, really just mean and hateful, and it really got my senses heightened and,
mm-hmm.
you know, made me really, really nitpick everything, you know, especially experiences on social media. And it kind of turned me cold in a sense. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, I would read people's posts on social media and say, you know, put forth some negative comment about, you know, if other people were speaking negative about it, I would say, yeah, you know, this was bad. And, you know, I never really took myself out of the picture for a minute and saw what I was doing. And since I've stopped doing that and stopped responding to comments and reading comments, and I've really been, I've more at peace within myself, you know, and along with, you know, the general public, definitely been more at peace with them. And I've kind of been living by the, you don't have to respond to everything that you view. Basically,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of what I've been going through. And
it might not have been about you. It might have been them projecting something of their own and taking it out on you, like if of jealousy, or they wanted to write a book and you did and they didn't, or
right.
Yeah.
Being pessimistic, and it might not have even been really about you. They're projecting their own insecurities and own anger, or having a bad day and took it out on someone else. And inappropriately, and that's something to look into too, like, and think that, you know, someone, like, just like with the management, the customer service and things, that some people will make a point to try to put someone down when they see them doing good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And or
yeah.
to complain
absolutely.
About something, but that's on them a lot of times, because that's something they need to work on.
Right.
Well.
It was just.
Because I've read your book.
It would be nice.
And I've given it out.
Sorry.
And it's a great book. And it's a great story. And I admire you for telling, you know, putting your memoir out there. That's, you know, very personal. And it takes a lot of courage and strength to be honest like that. And to not only that, but publish it. And it's helped a lot of people I've personally known. I've seen it. Like when I said you've helped some of my clients even. And so it's whatever they said was just, I strongly believe that was their issue, and it wasn't because it was your book. Be honest.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, people throw around this term narcissist all the time now, and I think that, you know, I feel like that guy from The Princess Bride.
I'm just thinking,
you know,
that.
You keep using that word. I don't think you know what it means.
Yeah, I do not think
a
it
lot
means
of people,
what you think.
A lot of people don't know what narcissism really means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of books.
Yeah, let's talk about yours.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about mine. I published a book. There's a Light Within You that never goes out, and it's for adult survivors of sexual abuse and incest, and I was inspired to write it. There's quite a few clients that I had at the time that were coming to help, like, later on in life as adults in their 40s and 50s, and they were just saying that they couldn't stand to live with the pain that they had buried for so long. And I was looking for curriculum to, you know, kind of A-game myself and make sure that I was up with current stuff, and there really wasn't a lot out there that didn't have a lot of fluff or a lot of scripture. A lot of my clients didn't have a relationship with God or the higher power because they were angry with them, because they had been living with, why did this happen to me? And so they hadn't healed themselves, so if they can't forgive themselves, or, you know, there's a path of healing of forgiving themselves and the person that, you know, whatever they went through before they can start really feeling whole enough to, you know, work on mind, body, spirit. So anyway, I had a survivor group, and with their permission, I was able to share stories and their documentaries, and I published a book. It's called There's a Light Within You That Never Goes Out. And it's their stories. I put it into a book, and then childabuse.com found it, and they featured me and the book as a must read. It was January 2017, and I donated it to them. I didn't want to profit from any of the book because it's not my stories, it's theirs. I just,
right.
I put it together as a self help to help others. And it's still there on the cover of childabuse.com. It's free to download. And they've left it there. It was only supposed to be for the month of January 2017. It's still there because they say that it keeps getting downloaded about 40 to 60 times a week. And how many people live in that uncomfort where they're seeking help, but they don't, their shame blocking them from talking about it or anything. And so having that out, the ability to download something anonymously and read and maybe hopefully see that they're not alone and seek help to help them heal to that level. I'm honored to have it on there, and it's free, and it's just childabuse.com. And then you have to read the first paragraph. So it's a big web page. But if you read the first paragraph, you start to notice about me in the book, and then you have to click on it, and then it goes on to another page, but there's the book on. It's free. So anybody listening that has, you know, lived with, you know, with trauma of abuse or sexual abuse or incest of any kind, there's a resource there that might inspire someone to feel better or to not feel alone or to seek further help to heal from the past.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
great.
It's great that you've got that out there. And I think it's awesome and says something, being that it's still there on the page getting downloaded and, you know, being this resource for those that need it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You should be proud, Tiffany. You really should. I mean, the work that you've done and the work that you continue to do, it's inspiring, you know. I'd be remiss if I didn't say that the work that you've done on the radio was definitely an influence on us,
mm-hmm.
you know, wanting to reach out and help those with, you know, what we do. So probably most likely. That's right. There probably wouldn't be an us without a you. So thank you.
I don't believe that, but that's really nice to say. Thank you so much. The more of us that are doing it, I strongly believe change could only come when we stand together, and we need as many resources out there reaching out and making a difference in order to make a change in the world. And it can't come from just one person.
Exactly. It's all of us together. So.
But you guys inspire me as well.
Thank you.
So.
I think it's just my rugged good looks. I think it's just my rugged good looks,
and
but okay.
And your sexy broadcasting voiceover. Becca's a lucky
Thank
woman.
You. I think the luck goes both ways. I'm a lucky guy. So, we've only got about 7 minutes left, but I wanted to ask you, where are we missing the boat on stigma as a community? What should we be doing that we're not?
Where are we missing the boat on stigma? Well, in my opinion, I think that there's a big, like we were just talking about narcissism, right? And like a lot of people use those terms, and that narcissistic personality, it doesn't mean that they're just vain or arrogant or just, jerks. Narcissism is much deeper than that, and I think it's misunderstood. So that would be a stigma. And through education and awareness and understanding, like for instance, a lot of people think that people with depression are suicidal all the time, but depression has so many other symptoms. They have physical symptoms, feeling like the flu, anxiety, other things, and a lot of people that suffer with depression are not suicidal. But that's a stigma that it's like, so educating on a lot of different things will help end the ignorance surrounding mental health labels, so to speak. Not everyone with ADHD is, they think that would be a learning disability, but it's not. And a lot of people I have ADHD. It means that, easily distracted or multitasking or things of, like that, but it doesn't mean like what a lot of people are ashamed to say. And by educating ends the stigma, meaning that we can learn about what every illness, I don't want to say illness, but mental health issue is, so that we can help others around them. For instance, just an example, if with the ADHD, that if I explained people all the time, that I have that. I'm not ignoring someone or trying to interrupt or any of that. It's not on purpose. It's not intentional. It's just the way I think, and I'm quick to reprocess, or if I don't say something, I think I'm going to forget it, or, there's a lot of things that people can understand to end what people, I want to say, judge others on, rather than understand. And I think that's the stigma that I feel like with the umbrella. But we can end that by educating and using examples through others, and that how others have learned to live and live well with things, so that treatment and therapy and the fear of therapy or treatment because of those labels and because of the stigma can be ended, and people can have healthier and happier lives by actually understanding the symptoms of each, I want to say diagnosis, but by understanding what we are, how our personalities are, and what our triggers are, and what our symptoms are, we can lead healthier and happier lives, because we don't have to live in shame or with guilt or not understanding things. We can rise above it.
Exactly. Awesome. Good answer.
I mean, we can end the ignorance. We can't fix stupid, but we can end ignorance.
That's for sure.
Some people just won't learn, but there's a lot of people that want to learn that they just don't understand.
And they need to take the time to.
Uh-huh.
I think
and
it
so
starts
with
all
the microphone. We force that.
I think it starts all the way back in you know, elementary school. If you're teaching, you know, sex ed, take another week to teach mental health, you know. And talk to people about warning signs and the appropriate responses.
If they're going to have health classes about different things, we both really think they need to have.
I have clients in therapy
health.
Because of health class. Depending on how it's taught, some sixth graders aren't ready to hear that. And I think that we should have more mental health counselors in schools, more availability, more resources that are right there, not just one school guidance counselor or one, you know, but more mental health help. I mean, not just protect people from coming back and doing the school shooting, so to speak, and I'm not kind of getting on that subject again, but offering more mental health services, having them more accessible, having them more affordable, having them more available. Where, like you were saying, Rebecca, like, you know, people are looking for help and just posting tweets, having more resources that they can go to specifically for help in that area when they're feeling like that is ideal. And that's what we should be focusing on, not removing things, not ending. I think sometimes people target things and rather band-aid solutions rather than focus on the root of the problem globally.
Yeah. Well, that said, really quick before we wrap things up, why don't you go ahead and give out your where people can find you online if they want to learn more about Safety Harbor Center or the show, or if they just want to reach out to you.
Sure. Okay. Thanks for that. Well, my webpage is momentsofclaritywithtiffany.com. The show airs. You can also find me at the public Facebook page under Tiffany Werner. It's spelled W-E-E-R-H-N-E-R. And I welcome people to watch live publicly or friend me. It's all about the radio show, all about ending stigma. And then there's a Moments of Clarity Facebook page as well. And then there's Twitter, and it's at M-O-C with Tiffany. And then the Safety Harbor Behavioral Health and Counseling Center is on Facebook as well. And,
awesome.
Always willing to help or also have guests on the show that are wanting to talk and share their story in order to help others, inspire others to seek help or raise awareness on several different topics that others don't understand. And,
great. Yay.
always willing to help anyone share their story. Sometimes it's very empowering as well for someone to break free of those chains and to share their story. And
sometimes
not only that, but see the feedback that comes from it.
Yeah.
And
sometimes
I love using the
hashtag.
I love using the hashtag Keep Talking Mental Health. I'm very proud of you guys for doing that. Rebecca, you've done amazing in finding a way to connect the mental health community all together. That's awesome. And whatever awards you guys are up for, I'm first to nominate you for, you know, things of that. Congratulations on all that and for your podcast and your book. And, you know, squash whatever negative reviews. I'm first to say that, you know, I mean, I had you as part of my group and pass out your book. And if it wasn't worth reading and if it wasn't impacting and empowering, I wouldn't have done that. So. I'm an expert
much.
In that field, so if I'm passing it out, you know, then, you know,
nice.
And I believe in you. I believe in you 100%.
Aww.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Thanks, Tiffany. Well, we're gonna close out the show with Pentatonix's cover of Imagine by John Lennon. And, excuse me, and Tiffany, stay on the line.
Okay.
Yeah. We will see you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye. Thanks so much. And thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you.
Ooh. imagine there's no country. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. No, and no religion.
Not the only one.
I hope someday you'll join.